Vikasha, if anyone knows the Tered, they can tell me. But then we'll try to learn a little bit Rambam, Aristotle. Today, mamish, an interesting thing happened. Moifis, that I was discussing, my wife wants to go on a trip somewhere for an event. And I was saying that I don't have kuch to go to Italy or wherever she wants to go. And my son said, yeah, Tati just wants to take a Rambam and Aristotle and he's happy. So, Takam, it's a good trip. You know where Aristotle is 3,000 years ago? A lot more interesting than Italy with a bunch of tourist traps.
Time machine.
So, it's very interesting, right? You want to go to the Colosseum, there should be one more selfie. There's like, make AI selfie and shine. That's a different Rishi, right? You know that Rishi already, about the past. Who was here complaining that they don't have friends? Ah, someone, Absid was here, Shabbos, complaining that he doesn't have friends. I told, look, I have a lot of friends. Not all of them are my friends, but some of them. You know the story with the Shagasari, that the Swim Shank fell on him, and he said that two people were not Moichelim? That's what
I'm asking? No, I'm saying.
I don't remember the details. The Shagasari was a Shar Fayid, right? He was Choylik on everyone. He didn't have a problem with making his own pshat. And once he was learning at night, and the Swim Shank fell on him. And he said that why they fall on him? Because he's creaking with all of them. Like, one day they got there in the Kumma. So, and he said that he tried to ask them all mechila. All of them were mechila besides for two. And he said which two achroinim are still mad at him. And that's why he still has he didn't have a fish line from that zet. Because they're kabrunim, those people. So anyways, Baruch Hashem, all of our people are mechila. Even if they're not mechila, then Baal Lamem is their mechila, like you know, all the masses. Right? You have to believe this. The other members, nobody here has a Rebbe that there's a creek with, right? To you? If it's a, you know, there's like a masa. This is not Chassid HaShatoris, though. There's a masa with... there's a lot of such stories. Like, there's a... you know, Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yitzchak just like buried close to each other or something. Or someone put them close to each other on the shelf. And he said that, you know, in Himmel, they were already Moed, they were already Mashlim with each other.
Where that comes from?
Where?
Apparently, I heard a story that basically Rakhavim died, and the only spot to bury him was near Ben Zayimshin. So, and Nerihu was in town, but close enough to ask them what they should do. Was like, you can't bury them next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I heard, there was like a legend going around that he said Shalom appeared before he died. And most of them made Chuvah and Shemayim buried them together. Really, the point is that it's just to bury the fight. That's the point. It's perfect to bury the fight.
Interesting.
And he was
okay.
Right. That's what they say when I was asking. Shalom was fired to bury.
Sounds good to me. And then, but there's such legends, there's many more such legends of people that, like, Olam Emes, they were Moichel. But the Nimshla of these legends, like all the legends about Olam Emes, everyone knows that nobody was actually here and came back. Like the Gemara says in Masechtas Makos, right? Umar of Yosef, Mam Salik La'ay Levovd, right? Someone said, Aluchik Reb, whoever said, Chulchai Vekriza Shaluki, Niftrim Dak Lusus Reb Shemem. And Psalmoyra said, Aluch is like that. And Reb Yosef said, what do you mean, Aluch? You went to him only, you saw it there, passing that there's no Kuris? What are you talking about? Said, what do you mean? I have a raya from a pussy. So what does this mean? You ever heard from me this gemura? Now I have a gemura, I could talk to you. That's this now you say the gemura. Very important. The seed was someone was by Mishabas and said, ah, so you have a pshat in the Torah that makes sense. Why don't you tell it to everyone? Yeah. So maybe I should try. Like I should, everyone thinks that it doesn't make sense, never. So, es steht in der Gemara so, Kol chai v'kriz shaloki, makas chub gimel. Kol chai v'kriz shaloki nifti mit der Kresusam, shenem v'nik lochich. Manech, div Reb Chanani ben Gamliel, sorry, Reb Chanani ben Gamliel. Was ist Reb Chanani? Ben Gamliel gesucht. So, Oma Rav, Rav came, Rav was Rashiv, right? Oma Rav, Adab, Rav, Oma Rav, 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 send the name of Rav, Aloch, Reb Chanani ben Gamliel. The Aloch is, this is the Rambam about this, right? You know. Aloch, Reb Chanani ben Gamliel, that Kol chai v'kriz shaloki nifti mit der Kresusam, shenem So Rav Yosef doesn't understand Rav. Shit, Rav. Rav said that Halacha Rav Chananya. What do you mean? How do you know that the Halacha Rav Chananya? Kuris is something that Halacha means that Lamasan, you come to Bez and Mefid Chazor, right? What? The? No, there's a Rambam here in Makkas and in Saita and another place that says that we don't call Indian Sheh Yashbid a minibal vad, I know him by Halacha Kiploni. There's Astira from the Rambam and Sanhedrin where Paskin's all the things that you have to believe, but that's a different shemis. So, you understand the question? How do Rav Yosef had a good question. How do you tell me what Taluch is? Shalach Ben Shalmal. Ben Shalmal does whatever they want, or maybe they have Taluch, but how do you know? And Abai told him, Umle Abai, as Abai was like to answer of Yosef's kashas, told him, Elo Dem Rav Shima Lai. Rav Shima Lai, so Abai said, well, this is the first time we know what's going on in Himmel. Rav Shima Lai said there were three things that Ben Shalmata did, and Ben Shalmal were maskim. Famous Rav Shima Lai, actually, Rav Shima Lai went to the Himmel, so it's Nishkanaya. But the Abai didn't think of this problem. Maybe he understood the Rav Shima Lai going to the Himmel the same way. He said, Elamai, we have a pray from the Pusik, we're doing the Pusik. We have a Nikla Kadashina, we have a Nikla Kichlenechot. It says a Pusik that they put it from Kuris. Why do I have to go? So, in other words, when I say Aloha, I just mean to say that I think that he's correct. The Pusik seems to agree with him. So, what do we learn from this? Very important, that's Yisod. Very important Yisod, and there's also Alpi Sadis, but I'm going to tell you Alpi Pshat, for the rationalists to agree. Everything that we, all the kind of stories, the Chassidish stories, you know, the Vilna Gaon, you know, the Mikhtaruf said a story when the Vilna Gaon came to Shemaim, they wanted to put him Ganim because he was Misnagid. Mikhtaruf said this story. The Mikhtaruf was a very rationalist guy. Until the Torah came and wrapped itself around him and said he learned the Torah, we don't let him put him in Ganim. And that's how he was saved from Ganim, because Baruch Hashem, the Vilna Gaon was Dam Tchokham, and that saved him for his Avaira of Misnagdis. And I mean, you know, the Chassidim, the Reb Nusen had a Reb Nusen Yusuf yesterday, Reb Nusen from Breslev, Mount Chassidim Betayvus, Vice Pavos, yeah? You know? What's the funny? If I finish my Chassidim Masses, then I'll tell you the serious question. Reb Nusen Yusuf was yesterday, Reb Nusen said that Reb Nusen had a Shver, I forgot his name, Rabbi Chil, I finish in Geisen. Next day Geisen? This guy is not kicking, so I'm going to move him, that's what I'm going to say. Reb Nusen Shver was a roof. It was a very famous roof. It was a besnaget, Litvak. And the Reb Nachman told Reb Nusen, you know that Yishver is a tzaddik. And he looked at him like, a tzaddik? A Litvak. He said, okay, yeah, he does one avaira, so he's a besnaget. So he'll get one more patch in Gehenna more than the other tzaddikim. Like, what's a tzaddik? A tzaddik doesn't get patched. Tzaddik also does avaira. So he has one more avaira. It doesn't become a tzaddik. Right? So there's a lot of Yisraelis in that story. In any case, one of the stories that's Nagal Nirnani is that we see that it's an avaira to be a Litvak. But some come in and every tzaddik does a virus. Doesn't puzzle you.
Always back to back.
What's so funny? So the same way the Vilna Gaon did a big avaira. You know, like the brother sold Yosef. At least that's because of the avaira. Why are you laughing at me? You know, made a chayram. You know, the Vilna Gaon literally signed a chayram on a bunch of Jews that you shouldn't marry them, you shouldn't do business with them. Hitir dumam, like the Baltania says, it's not a serious avaira. I'm serious now. Not allowed to do that. Even if he was right, he had good criticism. I'm not saying so. Should have a chiva, you know. Say, tell your shalshi the story that it's the other way around. What's the difference? You make a chayram, it's not a mal mensch. Not allowed to do such things. Teruz avaira. Baltania. This is the same avaira as Rav Menavot. Same avaira as Yosef and his brothers. Old problems in his chinam. That's what it's talking about. Nothing though. Same problem of Ezra, of the Prishim, a lot of people. Now, whatever. Oh, this is gonna get us to your shalas. Anyways, wait, just wait. So, anyways, back to the story. So I'm trying to explain you something. So, what is the point of these stories? All these stories, like how did he know? Like if you're a Litvak, like very cute, Reb Chaim Elazar Shapiro made up a story, like who told him? Oh, he said that the Baditch would have said. Okay, then who told about the Shviruf? Doesn't solve anything. Let's go out and a towel over there. Might help. Thank you. Teretz is like this. Man salak la'ayla, ele krui kudarshinon. In other words, what does it mean? Like, just like when it says in the Gemara, the chayv b'dinei shemayim. What does chayv b'dinei shemayim mean? Who cares? Chayv b'dinei shemayim, I understand. It means the bezin is going to come to your bank account and take out the money. Chayv b'dinei shemayim means what? It means that we think that really, you're at fault. It's the opposite than people think. This Shemayim means human reason, even more than Odom. Because then Odom is like we're limited by the Torah, we're limited by procedural considerations, all kind of legal things. But Din Shemayim means, if you ask me, you should pay.
It does great work in torts, by the way.
What?
It does very good work in torts.
That? Chayav Din Shemayim? Oh, because of all the grammars.
You have to draw these lines.
Yeah.
Secular law either sometimes overcompensates for it or just under for that. Because it doesn't have this idea of just like,
Really, you should. So if you want to be Yotzi de Shemaim, you should pay.
Right.
Clearly. Right? If you're Elechid, you chayav din Shemaim. So, right? You chayav din Shemaim. Very serious thing. So how do we know that's din Shemaim? Because Shemaim is just a word for what we think is the real truth. And the Olam Hazeh, we're limited. Even if there's a truth, can't always do it. Sometimes you have to do bad things because they're worth it and so on. But in Shemaim, they don't... That's where the, like, they don't have these problems. They could give you, they could give a tzaddik punishment, right? Olam Hazeh have a problem. We can't really punish tzaddikim. Hashem only punishes tzaddikim by Olam Hazeh, but that's a different story. But we have a problem. If you're a tzaddik, like, you can't, you know, if a Talmid Chacham sins, we don't give him an iddi because we have to protect the Talmid Chacham and so on. Right? But it's such a halacha. Official halacha, it says in Shulchan Aruch, protects if you're Talmid Chacham, we don't make an iddi against you. Hunting tzad in the meaning is only making it on Talmud Chacham, but that's different. If you're in Balabus, then we don't do anything against you. Talmud Chacham. Kitzer, I have a theory. I was thinking about this today. That's why. I have a theory about that. Why it is? I realize that there's a reason. So if you all talk, we'll get to the nice of Senes Chinam. I'll explain you. So it's a nice table. This big table. So the kitzer. This is Alachas King the Mazikin. The kids say, you don't know, the Rav Siruf said, why do we say Chad Gadi? Why do we say Chad Gadi after the Seider? Alachas King the Mazikin. So, the kids are Hamas, Nachli the 90s. So, how do we know what was in Himmel? All these stories, all these fantasies, all these like myths about someone went to the Himmel and he saw and so on. What it means to say is that, yeah, in this world we can't say these things, and of course we have to respect the Velnagon and so on, but really he deserves patch. But Lamas is Talmid Chacham, so, and that's a true thing. Being a Talmid Chacham is a real thing, it protects you also. Also in Dina Shemai. Same thing with the Gemara. This is a normal thing. We say all these things that we say, the Ben Shal Mat, the Ben Shal Mal, doesn't mean the Ben Shal Mal. Sometimes the Ben Shal, many, often Ben Shal Mat does things that the Ben Shal Mal is not masking. I know many of them. Not only, even the things that something the Ben Shal Mat shouldn't have done at all, something they should do. But Ben Shal Mal is not masking. Just like, for example, anytime. Very important. Anytime you punish a kid that's between 13 and 20, Ben Shalmal says, are you crazy? The guy's a little baby. Right? Says in the Gemara. Ben Shalmal is only a man from 20. What does that mean? It means that be real. Well, you're a Rebbe, there's Shlug, a 13-year-old kid. The guy came out of his pampers yesterday. Doesn't know anything. Tried to teach him something, maybe. But in Ben Shalmal, say that we have to, maybe that's chinuch, maybe we have to, some level of legal responsibility from when you're 13. It seems unreasonable to me, but in any case. According to the Jewish law, it's like that in some sense. I'm pretty sure not in all senses, of course, but in some senses. Everyone knows that it's not in all senses, right? In Chashim Mishpat, we don't actually consider 13 to be of age. But in any case, that's another idea of the same idea, right? So in the same thing, when I tell you that what's in Himmel, I mean to say the truth. But later on this world, people are limited by all kinds of limitations, and we can't have both. Sometimes we're stuck, and then we have to take Shaychet. Shaychet meaning the good kind of Shaychet, right? I have to respect you because Lamas, you're still my father, or whatever. All kinds of things like that. So in the same way, when people say, you know, in Himmel they would make Shulim, right? So if someone, or other times, sometimes people don't, even when still people are still alive, or even without the Himmel, they say, you know, if the Rebbe would have seen now, of course he would be Moide. He would not be Moide. But why wouldn't he be Moide? Because he would be wrong. But of course, the Rebbe really is right. The real Rebbe is right. So in Himmel, he chapped already the Emes. If you're so sure about the truth.
That's literally what the verse says, he's so easy, it's a little Latin. It's the same.
Yeah, yeah, it's really like that, of course. It's not a, it wasn't a surprise.
It's rhyme, but it's all like that.
Right, very good.
So he's saying, just quickly to push up on this, so is he saying that he thinks that Malchus is the type of thing that should get rid of Karis, just like Behemoth, that's what it should do? Is that what is he, what am I actually trying to say in this particular remark?
Yeah, it's a question of belief, right? Like the Rambam reframes all these questions in questions of belief, and then he has a different question if we machriya in questions of belief. Maybe you're allowed to do whatever you want, but the question is: what does it mean to say that kochav kris shaloki niftri? What does he mean to say that he's going to live? Just to be clear, nobody ever expected everyone to drop dead at whichever age kris is supposed to kill you. That's not how it really works ever. So, what does it mean? It means that we believe that you did. The Rambam says this in Ma'ariv Nevarchim when he talks about the levels of anshim. It says that. Avaira Shesh from Kuris means it's an Avaira, and we also believe that it's really, really, really big Avaira. That's what it says. I'm sorry for being cynical, but if you don't believe me, you can bring his Lashna and you'll see. Chalek Bez.
Or we don't. Chalek Gimel. Really, really don't need to do it.
It means it's really bad. This is, you really deserve kudos for this.
One is the bad is
okay. You deserve it. You deserve kudos. I'm not doing anything to you, right? It's really funny. You eat on Yom Kippur, eat on Mechal Shabbat, the Bezen throws you off the roof. If you eat on Yom Kippur, Bezen says you're a really, really, really evil guy. Not evil, I don't know, out of our community, however you want to call it. And that's all. And then they move on. But they give you Malkus. Now, Chananya says, right, if they have Eidim, they give you Malkus. If Chananya says, now that they have Malkus, that cancels out the Kudus. There's a whole logic to it, but that's more like the different sheath. As my mitzvah shetl was about this.
And saying, how does that, like, let's say, equate to, let's say, Averis that you do get Malkus to?
No, you get this Averis that have Malkus without Kudus.
But that we don't say that it's really, really evil.
No, right, exactly, because we don't say that you have Kudus. The only real difference, that the whole nafkamina lemasa of the kudus, is that it's really, really bad. You're exactly. You deserve kudus.
No, but I think we were asking, so the really, really bad one gets malchus, and the really, really not so bad one also gets malchus. Like,
exactly.
Why is that?
One of them.
One deserves kudus, and if he wouldn't get malchus, he would get kudus. He actually would. Would he? Chvais, I think that he should. I don't know if he would. He should. Maybe the Ibis nachash bohen is, that's his toilet, right? That's why you have to teach your daughter Torah, because otherwise she's going to realize that it doesn't really work. You have to know that it's Chiz Torah. But, Lemaase, right? Lemaase, you deserve it. For this thing, you deserve. Are you going to actually die? God has his Cheshbanis. Like he says, Da'at Eshel Tumim Da'es, yeah. So, Nafkion Ayetzlinim Zayi is that the same thing. Every Yid has to have a Rebbe. Every Yid has a lot of Rebbes. Now, the problem, all of us have problems with our Rebbes that they don't agree with everything we say. Unfortunately. That's because they're an Olam Hazeh, they're limited. But really, the Rebbe in Olam Haba was Moedah. How did I start saying this?
This is full circle now.
Yeah, but I was saying something about the. I was saying something about something. You don't remember.
This was supposed to lead into the question we said.
So. The question of? Okay, this is a masa. So everyone has to have a Rebbe. I don't know, remember why I wanted to talk about this. Everyone has to have a Rebbe, and then a little bit the Emma's Rebbe is Maida. Sometimes it is. I already told you the masa. I had a Rebbe that came to me in a dream, and I asked him something that he hacks against very much, and I do. And he said, "What, are you crazy? Of course you should do it." So I really held like that. Not a masa. He doesn't have the levish to understand. So. Now, what did we learn from this? I don't know. I wanted to say something.
Getting to the kasha?
No, you said in the middle. You said it's gonna.
I have a question, but why did I stop reminding myself of a story? Okay. So now I have a big kasha. That's an important kasha, very important kasha on reality. And if someone has a teretz, they can tell me. My kasha, I like all my kashas. It's like a whole sheet explaining the kasha, really. But my kasha is basically. Why nobody is normal without being Meshiga? Very simple kasha. I'm going to try to say it without too many names, so it shouldn't be too much Lashonara. Right? In other words, everyone is Moida that, and the kasha, the Teretz is somewhat in the kasha if I explain it this way. Everyone is Moida that the Welt is Meshiga. Right? Everyone is Moida. In all kinds of ways, but everyone is Moida in some way or another. Anyone, the default is not to be a normal person. Maskem? Everyone is maskem?
Mushul?
No, there is a getchka of a well-adjusted person.
Yeah, that's nachan shigun, right?
Yeah.
Before the question,
No, we don't have to define, oh gosh, no, we don't. Why? According, because I said, whatever your definition of namal is, nobody is namal.
Dafyamian headphones is part of this. Well-adjusted.
Maybe.
You're not going to find
I don't mean that.
That feels the whole world normal.
No.
Give me an example of what you mean, please.
Give me an example. One example is that everyone thinks that you should be well-adjusted. That the definition of Meshiga is whatever everyone else says. That's one example. Mm-hmm. Very good example. Most people nowadays are extremely relativists and think that the definition of good, of healthy, for example, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy, is whatever you think, whatever you like. Or whatever your neighbors like, which is still goes back to people's arbitrary preferences. That's what most people actually think. Some people have a God who is also one of the things that people that like things, but doesn't save them from the main problem, right?
Did you write an article about this?
Yeah, about the one part of it.
Just the ethics part. Right?
Yeah, but the maskim, most people think that good means whatever I want. And some people are very religious, so they think that it's not only them. There's also a getchka called a god that wants things, and good is whatever he wants, or at least also whatever he wants, depends on how from he is. Right? That's a shiguan. It's crazy. Everyone just thinks that this is the default. The default, some weirdos think that there's beauty in the world. There's really objective beauty, or objective goodness, or objective health, or anything. Right? But everyone agrees, whatever floats your boat. Even boats don't just float arbitrarily. There's good boats and bad boats. But I don't know what this mushtal is supposed to say. Okay? This is a shiguan gomer. What's this?
Whatever floats your boat,
it's
not true.
a lot of things float your boat, but not anything.
Whatever floats your boat is an objective question.
You gotta make a good boat, man. There's good boats and bad boats. Maskim, that's one mishigas. Okay, another mishigas is that, I'll tell you much, the other mishigas. Okay. Now, I'm not going to give you I have a rule that we're not allowed to give examples because we only end up talking about the examples. And we should only talk about examples, but that's another shmiz. Now, I'm going way too fast. So listen, I have a kasha. Why is nobody mimal without being meshiga? So the mushul, there's a few people, like I mentioned before. Last week I gave a different mushul. There's a few people that are not against the meshiga. They do think that there's somehow live as if there are good things and bad things in the world for real. There are such people. Those people are neo-Nazis, most of them. I know them. Almost all of them think, like, you know, my Torah about the Goyle Chused, right? I have a big problem that I like a lot of, like, thinkers, a bunch of people that try to explain all kinds of nice things, like, to help me understand the Rambam and all the Tzaddikim, because they tell us that me, Aristotle, and Plato weren't totally crazy. They have some points. And then a few weeks later, I found out that the guy is literally a Nazi, not even a neo-Nazi. Why? Because he got into Mesoyre. But the Mesoyre of Nagoy. It says a pusik, Shamra Nafshim, a Goy Lechusad. What's wrong with a Goy Litvak? Because Litvak goes with the Alocha. The Alocha says, Isaac son of Yaakov. So he has to follow the Alocha. Chusad, it's Alocha. Right? Traditional Goy is a problem. I'm not saying that the not traditional Goy is not a different problem. As Ochel son is still, but that's, he has a different excuse. I'm just saying, that there's a problem here, right? This guy's ready now.
This is a new tire now. Goyish Litvaks.
But
that's the Litvak
is like a few weeks ago is definitely universal.
Exactly. Litvak is not a type. It's not a not talking about Chassidim of any Litvaks. Who's a Litvish goy? No, I'm talking about a trad goyim really. Traditional goyim are mostly real anti-Semites. The only thing is, like a different trad guy said that Yid said this, that what's the definition of anti-Semite? Someone that hates Jews more than is appropriate. Maybe from a daf. So if the guy hates Jews but not more than he needs, then he's not a malagoy. No problem. I could deal with him. It's part of right? The whole all of ethics is about measure. Correct measure. Maybe there's a correct measure of hating Jews. Most Jews are hating them too much, right? But a goy has to do a little less. But the kid said, that's the problem. So you understand the problem? And this happens to me every time. Like, I have a lot of criticism of a lot of things. It's going to happen to you with me too. Don't worry. You think that all, like that guy I told you, said that I have a good chat in the Torah and why don't I tell it to anyone? Turns out that I also have a lot of craziness, at least according to him. I think that I'm right, probably. But a lot of problems, a lot of mishigas, a lot of nonsense, a lot of naughtiness. That's the reality. Every time I find someone, I'm like, wow, this guy, that's the Zach. He sent me a clip of a video clip, and you see, he's explaining himself well, and he's clear, and he's not beating around the bush, and he's not bluffing us like some people think it's a big mitzvah to bluff all day. He's not doing a bluffing thing. Very nice. And then I look at his next video, and he's talking about going to Oman for Rosh Hashanah. Like, Shaykh, you have to go to Oman. You already explained me that, let's be real, and the Torah doesn't say anything about not eating the Haim Shaykh Shairim. So it says you should eat kosher. Pretty sure if you eat kosher, you're about to eat. It doesn't say anything about a Haim Shachshe. I know that you're pro Haim Shachshe, and for it's a different mitzvah, but Nishmitzat Kasheris. And And then the next video is like, the Heilige Rebbe said, if you don't go to Oman, you don't have a tikkun. Like, hello, does that say in the Torah? Where do you find that? It's actually, I know of, there's more than one person that this applies to. This is very weird. What's going on?
Maybe see, I think your example last week was very good. The conflict. I don't know if you don't want
to say it. It was really a story from last week. I hate the past.
I know, but I think it brought up the point of very, very big.
I'll tell you the mushul that Ellie says, or you can tell it. Last week I was about people that are in business understand the mushul. Oh, everyone's in business here. Everyone in my shiur has to be in business, otherwise, come was the Rebbe to nishmach mechmachot business. Don't worry. Try. So, last week I said a masa by the unrecorded shiur that I went to a conference for teaching us how to steal money from rich people. Chas v'shalom. You know, the Ruv said he has good news and bad news. Good news is that there's enough money for all the Kimcha de Pesach. The bad news is that it's in the wrong people's pockets. Right? So, I was by this conference for all the people whose job is to get the money from one pocket to the right pocket, from the wrong pocket to the right pocket.
Oh, my God.
And it's an important job. You have to be Mizaki Eden, you have to do a correct allocation of capital, you know, one of the important functions of society. But, I'm being very vague, right? Schnodding, fundraising. Okay, so now, what's the problem with this conference? Just like many self-help conference or whatever you want to call it, you're going to and others. What's the big problem with them? That they're all evil. Why are they evil? Because they're about means and not about ends, right? Why are they evil? Because, right, you know this. This is Rabbi Mark and Taris Drusha about social engineering and about social science and about business consulting and all of that. All of these, all of like, if you go to this is I told you about goals. I talked about goals.
Yeah.
Any self-help person that you go to is going to explain you that there's a way to be efficient. You got to have goals and you got to follow them and all of that. And you have to achieve your goals and count and smart. Drusha Taivas smart. Chenkshin is Drusha Taivas. But the nafkmin of the whole of Shetayvus is that this is the logic of Rishuim. What do I mean Rishuim? That it's all about how to achieve your goal. It doesn't tell you anything about what your goal should be, right? So come Kimtos, and like very explicitly, everyone, the guy that stood up, for example, by that camera, the guy stood up, look, I don't care if you're raising money for Left Tour, or for Square, or for Satmar, or for Tzahal. The same rules apply to everyone, right? Wait, what's going on here? Seriously? Nobody actually said that, but there's a subtext that says all of this, right? What do you mean you don't care? If someone is here raising money for Al-Qaeda, we should throw him out. We shouldn't even teach him the tricks. Because he's really evil. What's going on? But there's a real problem because the tricks, not only the tricks, the ethics, right? The kind of person that you become, a person that teaches you how to be efficient. I'm an efficient person. Then like Hannah Arendt said, right? You could be like Eichmann also is a pretty efficient guy. Right? Extremely efficient. Maybe there's some virtue in that itself, but you could be a very efficient Holocaust organizer. And you'll be doing your job. You'll following all Taylor's principles of modern management.
Okay.
I have news for you. There isn't another event.
That's your fault. You didn't make
not my fault. No. See, but you see, there's something evil about this, right? You have to imagine that in the olden days, people that actually knew such a skill. If I know the skill, I know a skill. I'm Dale Carnegie. I know the skill how to get anything out of anyone. The Sanhedrin would make a big chayrim and only teach this secret to people that are 35 years old, and we bring three character witnesses that you're not going to use this for bad purposes, right? Isn't that obvious? These are really powerful tools, right? You can manipulation tools, right? You can convince anyone of anything. You're a salesperson, right? We should not allow anyone to become a salesperson. There should be a board, like some kind of control over this. We should teach it only to the really good people, like to the really vetted people that are already know that they have good ends, because otherwise, what's going on, right? And just to be clear, every time, of course everyone says this, right? We said this drush about psychology mentors. We're only learning tools, it's not really true. It becomes, just like everyone knows about the Goodwin principle, right? There's called something called the Goodwin principle. Anything measured becomes a target, right? Wow, he doesn't talk about it in his course? Mamash peeing funny. I don't think it does. It's missing a very important thing, right? Everyone knows anything measured becomes the target. The medium becomes the message. Always, right? This is the reality because like Aristotle taught us, what you become what you do. You don't become what you believe in. Belief in, unless belief is a kind of doing, like you say, Shema Yisrael twice a day. Okay. But you become what you do, right? If you work on means all the time, you're working on becoming efficient, you're going to become efficient. You're not going to become good. And you're all day talking about this, and you're never talking about becoming good. You're not going to become good. Actually, we become manipulative. The definition of manipulation is, I'm trying to get something from you, which is not the good thing itself, is not good. And it's not really good for you, right? It's good for me, or it's good for some third purpose. That's the definition. It's a big problem, this. I think it's a really big problem. That's one problem. There's a bigger problem, right? The masking, that is the problem? Or there's something else? He's not masking. Ari's not masking.
No, I hear it now.
Ari's not masking. This is a real problem. I really think that if... I actually know someone. I have news for you. I have dealt in a third-hand way with someone that went to a certain course, the same course that you went to. And Master Shah, one Zayid, he stole $1 million from a Zayid, playing a gambit on $1 million. I know exactly how. Well, there was a trick, an excuse. He came in the toyer, gezukt as toyfus lebal chav, mokim shechav lechrini, whatever. I got to stickle toyer, yet why he's allowed to. The Master is a plain a grave ganav. Again, I don't know. I heard one side of the story. Maybe he's not. But sound like that to me. And just deposit. The guy gave him a check, he deposited twice, whatever. Playing. What he did was for sure ganav. Maybe the gang gerecht, he hadn't owed him. Owed the psachesh. He owes him $1 million. I don't know. The man said that's what happened. So, and that he said, I came to him, he said, what do you learn? Man, what do you mean? I went to this course, they taught me how to be very efficient. And he was very into it, like, I'm very good at this, and so on. And if not for that course, it wouldn't be Letters of Aganev. I hope. Maybe it didn't make a difference. Because all these things turn out some horrible people. And it's by design, like, it's not, there's a real problem. That's one thing. Another thing is, that people that have luck to not really be
able. It also lets you pursue it and not in the pursuit of evil. I don't have to pursue being a gun if I can just pursue being efficient, right? And have it steal along the way.
Meaning he doesn't realize that he's a gun.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to confront the fact that he's learning how to be a gun.
Yeah, he's not teaching you how to be a gun. He's teaching you something, a tool. He's teaching you how to pick locks.
I know what you're doing.
It's like teaching how to pick locks. I teach you how to pick locks. Are you going to use it to pick the bank or are you going to pick your Bobby's house when she gets locked out? I don't care. I don't care. I'm not about anything, right?
Isn't that the worst thing, though?
What?
Because then you're, I'm saying...
Exactly, it's you're an amoral person. Yeah. So this teaching is an amoral teaching. It really is. Right. I think it's a real problem. I really think that in some kind of ideal universe with the correct chenek structure...
You can sneak the 80% evil...
Yeah, there's if
right
there would be.
The guard's nose,
I really think that if it would be a real, if there would be like a really good like a Plato's, fantasies of.
This really applies to everything in the whole world.
No,
like,
wait.
Don't sell lighters because maybe someone's going
to. No. Wait. This is a nice. Call them.
Don't let anyone drive the.
Wait. Let's move it. This is all emotional from Akashi. I have to remember these are all things that everyone here is supposed to agree on. Yeah, I hear your question, and it's part of the brainwashing that you got from capitalism. Now, but you have to remember that let's try to focus, right? I'm trying to get somewhere. If you're not masking with part of Dagdumas, you have to talk about that at a different time because all these things everyone here agrees with already. Just giving you guys an example, at least said I should tell you an example of something. So this is one of the examples of how you can't be Meshiggah without being a Mal, how you can't be a Mal without Meshiggah. Okay, this is evil. In Plato's ideal educational society, all of these tools would be hidden, just like lockpicking. I mean, nowadays also you can learn lockpicking on the internet. But... And just like creating nuclear weapons, we have some tools. We have enough cycle to keep them locked up, only for people that we think are already good, right? This is true, definitely true for management, for human management. Becoming a good rebbe, becoming a good anything. If it's just a good in the sense of being efficient, of being a good tool, it's really dangerous and should only be taught to people that have already proven themselves to be good. Even after that, many of them are going to use it for evil. But this is why we have all these secrets. Ideas of Seder Satoira, of secret societies, there's a reason for that. It's not crazy. Now, second problem is, a deeper problem is, that it also doesn't work, in my opinion. It doesn't work. At least if you have a neshama, it doesn't work, Baruch Hashem. Any yid that was born with a neshama, in my opinion, doesn't actually... I don't know anyone. It's kind of cute. I know many people, not a lot, not enough, but like maybe I know 100 people. I don't really know any of them that manage their life that way. Any of the good people that I know. I know some people that manage to manage like their business that way, also in like a much more sporadic way than you think. But I don't know anyone that manages life that way.
It's it reminded me of.
I don't know anyone.
Of that, someone told me that it says, "Anastasis Hashem Lekeini, Vanaglois,
Lanu."
Okay, and everything in between is just lecha, not the vanecha.
Which in between the neglet?
It's not nistin and it's not neglet. It's probably just for you. Don't tell it anybody else.
Ah, so yeah. So you have what I'm saying. Do you know anyone that actually like it's? I have a real question. Every self-help book in the world says have a goal and make a New Year's make a New Year's resolution. Do you know anyone that actually succeeded with his New Year's resolution, with his goal? Smart one. Ask Rabbi, what's his name, if he knows anyone. I am sort of very suspicious of this. No, I'll explain you why. I don't know anyone that it worked for. Doesn't work for me in the same way, in that way. Yeah? In some way, it does work. I'll explain you. I don't know anyone. Why? If there's someone that does it works for him, I should think you should stay away from him. Because they're a psychopath. Now, why doesn't it work? Because human beings aren't actually the kind of thing, and we're not actually machines. We're not actually efficient causes. Machine and efficient causes the same definition, literally, metaphysically. Where are things that only do ends? That's the idea of a human being. A human being, for anything to make sense, people talk about meaning. You know what meaning is? Meaning means doing something that has a goal. Not a goal, a fake goal, a real goal, right? The end. You call them the same. They're the same word. There's no real difference in the words. When I say a goal, I mean something that in some sense isn't itself good. Or at least you very clearly see how it leads to something that is really good. But even then, what you're going to be doing is the goodness of that thing. So it's secondarily good. I don't think everything is finally good. Even if it's secondarily good, what you're doing is that thing and not something else. Like it says in the Gemara, say dvarim l'shem pa'olam. And Tzarash says, do things for themselves. Right? If what you do is not good, it's only leading to something good, you, as a human being, will not succeed to do it. Unless you would turn yourself into a machine. Most of us have a hard time turning ourselves into machines. Some people are successful at that, and those are the CEOs. But aside from that, most people have a really hard time, and even the people that do it well, is because, for example, right, there's a very big difference between someone who is in service of capitalism and someone who is in service of providing for his wife and children. Providing for your wife and children is a very good end. It's not the final end. You don't go to Gan Eden for that. You only go to Gan Eden for what you do with that. But according to the Holy Rambam, at least. But it's a good thing. And in order to do that, I have to get a job, I have to do my job well. No problem, you're doing all this well. It's all part of being a person that's providing for his family, a good father, a good husband, a good part of society. I want to provide a mikveh for my bris medrash, whatever it is that you're providing. You're part of that. The moment that it's separated from that, I think that that's like the definition of evil. The definition of becoming a machine, which doesn't have a goal, and that's just what evil is. That's a shin dalet, right? So,
meaning the moment that you're not providing and you're what?
That your pick, your story, what your story is not, it's not embedded into a bigger story that's I'm a good person and I'm providing for my family, for example. I'm just running this system as efficiently as possible. That's what I think. And therefore, I think that people, that's why people complain that they have no meaning. And your Zayde doesn't understand what you mean when you say I don't have meaning in my job, right? What do you mean I don't have meaning? You gotta have a job. He does have meaning in his job. His meaning is to come home to his wife and bring her a check. That's a great meaning. Meaning just means there's a story that ends somewhere. Meaning is not some fancy feeling. I don't know what people think meaning means. Right? But you don't have meaning because your job is set up in a way that you can't really do it if you care about coming home to your wife at night. Many jobs are sort of set up in that way. Or at least it's very hard. You have to... Very good. Now you can understand why you have to be meshiga. It's very hard to be a good... Whatever it is.
You definitely can't be the typical person at the job.
Yeah. Most people in New York City or whatever, in the workplace, are not... That's not their story of themselves. Most of them. I'm not talking about the Haimish Eden, the Heilige Eden. I'm talking about the Welt. Most of them are not like that. And it's set up for people. Like the language that they talk and the way to become successful within any society is to talk their language and to work in their concepts. Their concepts are machine concepts, not human concepts. And that's why it's very hard to do it for if you're a human being. If you have a neshama left, it's very hard for you to live in that world. And now, this is the Mishigas, the Maskim. So what was I saying?
When you say neshama, the whole now, thing, what are you referring to?
I don't know. Now, I do know, but you're training me. I'm far enough off my track. So,
you mentioned a few times.
A neshama is a person that is a human being. That's what a neshama is. That he didn't forget. Some people forgot that they're human beings and became machines. That's the difference. A machine doesn't have a neshama. Either a mensch hat a neshama. And some people don't have a neshama. They're very happy being machines. I'm pretty sure that nobody that listens to my sheet is happy with that. So I don't have to talk about that person. But So this is a problem. I want to tell you this: you can't live like this. I'm telling nobody could live like this. If you manage to live for a long time like that, I don't want to know about you. You're really weird. I think you're weird. Besides for being evil.
Full machine or full?
Full machine. Like if you go to the shir and they tell you, look, you got to make yourself goals every day and every month and every chodesh and KPIs and BCGs and whatever they call it today, the Rosh Hashanah. I'm telling you, I don't want to be your friend, and I'm not friend of any of those people. Nobody that I know that's my friend is like that. Now, it's the same thing, by the way, it's the same thing in Avodas Hashem, in Yiddishkeit. You should have a goal. You should learn 5 blat every day. I promise you, nobody ever became a lamdan like that. I'm not saying you shouldn't learn 5 blat every day. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a goal, how much money or how much sales or whatever. I'm explaining to you, if that becomes your life, that's the way you run, that's the engine, that's the gas that runs you. I don't know. There are such people, and they're nuts, in my opinion. Okay?
Flat way says
neurodivergent. No, I don't think. That's just the way. I don't know. Neurodivergent is just a neutral thing. No, there's people that... No, that's you're not. What you're talking about is not that. I don't think... I'm talking about normal people. If you're neurodivergent, then...
I think that's a large part of...
Maybe. I'm not sure. No, I think that's a different thing, because I understand that that's different. That's a person that he has a tanig and it's a making lists and check marks. Different. Tanazan doesn't like that, right? And then that guy has a virtue of making checks, Excel sheets. He really loves it. Okay. It's a different thing. He's like some beauty in it. No, I'm serious. There is some beauty in it, like math, like whatever it is, like the backseeness of the world. The world is pretty backsy. It's not true that. I'm not saying you shouldn't be backsy. You should only be around. That's not the point. But what I'm saying is that this is a problem. You can't live like this. I forgot. I'm getting to that part. Don't worry. But there's too many people have questions. In that conference, I was sitting in there, and I don't feel comfortable. I need all these tools. I consider myself a good person. That's letting use all the tools. Maybe I'm wrong. I consider myself that way. But also, it feels I don't know how to. I can't use them if I don't believe in them. See, that's what I mean when I say I have an neshama. I have an neshama means that me. I have a very hard time submitting to things that I don't believe in. Sometimes I just call it ego, but it's not ego. It's really having a neshama. If I go to someone and this guy says, you have to beg this person, you have to pretend to be below him, because that's how we'll do you a favor. Unless you could explain to me how that person is really deserves it, or how and somehow there's some virtue in doing this. Otherwise, I'm just not going to do it. Love it.
In this book on sales, in the beginning of the book, he basically says, like, chapter one is basically that, explaining why you have to believe in what you sell.
Yeah.
Chapter two is, let's say you don't believe. How to believe.
Okay. Yeah. Most people don't believe.
Well, the matter, then you're not going to get what you want to get.
Wait. Chaltamit not story. You see this, but you realize there's something crazy here. We have to solve this problem. My biggest belief is that we could solve this problem. We don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be ozvavs and not get anything done because of this. I have an neshama, therefore I can't work. No, nonsense. You could work, of course. You have to figure out how it's going to work. There is a way. That's my biggest belief, my biggest hope. And I think it's true. There is a way. There's a way. But we have to understand what the way is. Now, I am very uncomfortable. I can't do that. It's very hard. I just can't do it. The reality, I can't do it. And to the extent I could do it, it's because I'm corrupted. But I think that people that can do it are the good people. That's my opinion. Now, nishbat. Now, at that thing, I'm telling you a story. Now that we have to find a way. This is nish normal. It's not normal that everyone has to become all human being in order to be successful. That's crazy. Only reason I want to be successful is because I want to be a successful human being. Tell me no. Be mevater for your whole life, right? Just to be clear. For your whole life, be mevater, I'm being a human being. Because let's be real. Yeah, I know. Like you go, okay, I was a rebellious, I don't know if you call it rebellious, but like, and I used to have tannas, the yeshiva learns too slow, too fast, too low, too high, whatever it is. And I used to go to my rabbis, like what kind of, and none of them ever said anything different, I mean, depending on their mood. But for the most part, you go to people and they understand, they say, look, yeah, you're right. Some of them are just lying, they don't think I'm right. Istanbul, hello, get out of my life, you're a liar. But some of them really think that. And then he says, but look, how does it go? There's always a push-off. Like, you're a bacher, you're in yeshiva, You have to shtel zech to the yeshiva until you get married, and you'll go in koil, you'll be able to do whatever you want. So and then you go in koil, and they tell you the same thing until, I don't know when you're able to actually live. But, true story. Now, I always told him, thank you so much for your advice, and then I woke up in the next morning and I didn't do it. I wanted to do it, just didn't work, because Nebuchadnezzar have a neshama, and I can't. If you would try to convince me how this, they're so stupid, these people. They think, even the ones that are really like this, okay, they're stuck in the same place. But the ones that are just manipulators are really dumb. Because, again, maybe they're manipulators because they know that this is the best manipulation, but if like someone comes to you and says, look, yeah, the system is corrupt. I know the system is corrupt, but look, you want to win, right? So try to win the system. You just corrupted a guy morally. You did the worst thing. There's one guy that at least is not corrupt. He doesn't just want to succeed. He just doesn't just want to win. He said, oh, let's just win. What do you mean? If you would be sincere, you would say, no, even a better manipulator would try to convince me that the system is correct. Then you should believe in it, okay? Then I can understand. Of course, maybe he knows that there's no good arguments or he has no way to explain it to me. Then he's stuck. But this is a big problem. Mask him. It doesn't work. So the kid said, there was one yid over there that said a drusha that I understood. That made sense to me. The only problem is that his drusha was toit meshiga. That's why the kid, one yid stood up over there, and besides for all the items that he said, he also said that the boy said, you should know that fundraising is a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to make a lot of money. It's not a mitzvah to gefil for the gevirim. It's not a mitzvah to nothing. Mitzvah is to do it. If this is your job, whoever you decided, if you're a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. Therefore, if you don't make money, if you do make money, if you do succeed, if you don't succeed, it doesn't matter. You should wake up every day, say, and go do your mitzvah. That's what this guy said. Now, I telling you the reality. This guy, I felt good by his drusha. Because I know how to do things like that. I know how to do mitzvahs. Mitzvah, by mitzvah, I mean things that are good, correct things. I know how to do correct things. It's hard. Yeah, I know that. Sometimes it's hard to do the good thing. I could work with that. It's difficult. It's hard to do the good thing. We'll work on it. Sometimes we'll succeed. Sometimes we won't succeed. Sometimes we'll be dejected. We'll be frustrated. But I know how to live with that. Everyone else says, you just have to win. I don't know how to live with that. And they also say it's hard, right? But you have to be misgabber. What does that even mean? I don't know how that looks. Work on yourself to not take yourself seriously, to be a better slave for something else. Like, what? You know, if you really force me, I'll be forced. No problem. I won't have money. My mortgage will, whatever. I won't have rent, pay the rent. I'll go do something for that. I'm above that. But you're really giving me chizik like to be that? That doesn't make any sense to me. So this guy's only drush that actually made sense. He was talking about a certain virtue. You're a schnodder. Go and be a good schnodder. Believe in, not about believing in it, right? It's not even believing it. Just do it. The mitzvah. Mitzvah said that I said the kind mitzvah, whatever mitzvah it is. Enjoy. It's not shiny. You're asking that this guy is the only normal drusha. You understand this? Everyone knows how to do that. Everyone knows. Do the correct thing. Who told you this is your tafkid? Maybe someone else. No problem. You walk today, you're doing this. Now, it's not shiny. This guy's drusha was whacked. Like, seriously? What do you mean? My job is to make money. It's not to knock at people's doors and get thrown out. Like, that's not the mitzvah. It's such a weird... It's also nuts, right? It's not to do things that don't have a goal. He's also in some way living without a goal. Right? Because like, I'm just doing things. What do you mean, just doing things? You want to win, right? And then, oh, Hashem will send you the money. No, Hashem doesn't send nobody money. I don't know anyone that sent Hashem sent money. I told you the drusha already, right? Anyone that tells you a drusha, you should rely on Hashem sending you money, ask him how he's going to send it. What's his post office address? Because I don't know anyone that Hashem sent money yet in my life. I know so many people that go around. I listened to last week somewhere. You know, yeah, I was in the grocery and I have betuchen. I went to the grocery, I filled up my cart, I had no idea how to pay. And Reibstrat geholfen, I borrowed money around the register. You could have thought of that before. You're just a lowlife. Like, oh, Reibstrat geholfen, someone went by and said, you really don't have what to pay? Okay, and he gave me the money. Because some yid gave you the money, Reibstrat didn't give you nothing. Reibstrat schickt alles, no difference. What do you mean the Reibstrat gave you money? You're just drying me up. What's it got to do? So you have a like picture. Your picture of the reality is totally not in sync with how God actually is. Right? You believe in some a-causal world where things have nothing to do with their effects. Of course they do. Why did you go to the grocery? Why did you fill up your cart? Why didn't you just sit home and wait for the fridge to fill up? I mean, what's going on? Who are you fooling over here? Oh, you have to do that. Okay, you also have to go work. Or maybe your plan is to borrow money from people. No problem. Mooch off people. Say, my life, I like to mooch off people. And so on. And I don't have patience to work. I'll just say it to him all day. And wait for people to give me money. No problem. That's your plan for life. Your plan is not Hashem. Hashem kitnish duaran. Right? Not only, you're talking nonsense. Like, Hashem kaparan. What do you mean Hashem? How is this more Hashem than anyone that just works? And Hashem sends him money. Like that. That person is actually doing a mitzvah. He's not just mooching off people. Maybe it's not such a big avayah. Whatever. Figure it out.
No, the guy mooches off other people is being
metayach
ba'adam. The other guy, the job is being metayach
ba'adam. I think so, yeah. I mean, again, these are like, if you want to like really get into chasavus, it's internal states, or if you want to explain what it means, no problem. But you're just, your words don't make any sense. You're saying words that you yourself don't know what they mean. Hashem is going to help. What does that mean? Hashem is going to help. Everyone knows that everything is Hashem. You don't have to, people, I think the reason people are really, people say this all the time because they don't really believe in Hashem. So they have to say it the whole time. It's like, I'm doing it, but Hashem, what does that even mean? So, b'kitze, you understand why, how, everyone understands why this, what this guy said was total nonsense. But that's why he's the only one that said something normal. So now here's my kasha. Why can't there be a normal person that can explain you that you're a schnorrer, there's virtues of a schnorrer. Schnorrer has to, I'll tell you one of the virtues of a schnorrer. Not because it happens to be that it helps you make money also. If you're a schnorrer, you should brush your shoes. You know why? Because it's not respectful. You go to a person, you ask for money, and you're like, yeah, I'm a schnorrer, so I'm allowed to have ripped shoes. It's not nice, right? People don't like it. It's like spalte shakzi, right? Right? That's the virtue of a schnorrer. A schnorrer has to address the part. Mask him? You're masking him to this? That would be a very reasonable drusha. Part of a middah story was there's a correct middah, had to be a schnorrer. Schnorrer's got to wear a normal rekel, and he has to make his pious and comb his beard. Otherwise, you come to someone, a guy is just giving you money to get you out of his face because you're ugly. True story. Right? So, now, this is the same actual factual advice than the other guy that says, look, you're going to go to the gvir, look, you have stuff in gefeln, you have a besser mensch, he doesn't like people that are chnyakish. Some people do like daf chnyakish, okay, so dress up chnyakish. But, go be a normal person, figure it out. Yeah, it's hard to cost money to buy a new rekel, but you're going to make more money. It's worth it. No problem. That's one. That's the manipulative way of saying the drusha. You can say the same as the drusha as if it's a mitzvah. And it's not a mitzvah. Because this is a good. Now, is this the final good? No. The end is to give money, and then the money to go to yeshiva, and then someone in the yeshiva is going to, somehow it's going to end up in Torah, this money. I don't know how. But, you understand my point? Why is the only normal guy a nut case?
Even like speaking well. It's like one way is to speak well, like manipulate, and one is to speak well because you should present.
Right.
Well. Like,
exactly. My job is to be Magid Shir, and everyone has to do their Masa Matan Be'emunah. My Masa Matan Be'emunah is for prepare Shir, and I don't have to follow the Shir. I don't hold that you have to follow the. But I did prepare Shir today. It's over here. If you don't believe me, I even have notes. It's not what I said, but you have to appear. It's Masa Matan Be'emunah. Right? Oh, no, you have to prepare so people should be impressed. My job is not to impress people. I mean, it's to impress people, but that's just what it is. It's not just, right? If I can impress you in a fake way, I'm doing my job wrongly. If I impress you in the correct way, because I did the correct preparation and I got a nice room, so to impress you, all of that, no problem. That's part of the job, doing it correctly. Why the only people that even go out of this totally manipulative frame are the ones that tell you that God, someone is doing, somehow is doing it directly. It's a very good example of the kasha, and there's many hundreds of other examples that are the same kasha. All boils down to the kasha, why everyone in Mal is Toit Majiga. Is it that, what's my other example?
Something with the Rebbes.
What about Rebbes?
It starts with Nachman.
No, but the same thing. Is it normal to this is a good example. I can that one I a little bit understand. It's easier to understand, to explain why. But is it normal to that every person that already understands that you know that you don't have to worship whoever was the ankle of the whoever first guy that was the ankle of another guy is also believes in some dead guy in Ukraine? Most of them do. Like Shaykhs. Of course, that's easier to explain. But is it normal that everyone is it normal to that every teenager should spend 7 years of their life watching TikTok? Because that's contemporary chenach. The other chenach is that TikTok was created directly by the, that's actually true. But the other chinuch is that the whole internet was created directly by the Sitra Achra, so that we should have geis, b'nai yeshivas or something. Now, this guy's a little normal. You have kids, you should put a filter on their phone, no question. On their whatever, nobody ever argues with, I mean, people don't live like that, but that's because they're nuts. Or they don't have a choice, whatever it is. But their society is nuts. Then the only guy that's normal is like, what? You know that Skelener Rebbe gave the best drusha by Sittifield? And everyone was laughing at him. Skelener Rebbe said, got up, and 15, was this 20 years ago almost?
Yeah.
Got up and said, there was a difference in a mention of Abahayim, but this is a shtikl zoya that he said. A man just doesn't rhyme Emnen. Rhyme Emnen literally says this is how you get your neshama. A man, a Bahaima kicked her up. A man kicked her off. So if you walk around like this, you're a Bahaima. Now he said the most normal thing, but it's, what does it mean? Therefore, hello, what? You got my problem? Why is only normal people Majiga?
No, but people also do think that there's like, back to this well-adjusted thing, I think people do very often think that well-adjusted person. Obviously, if you say you shouldn't go on social media at all, you must be taking shinga. 30 minutes a day is whatever.
If you can do that, no problem.
Yeah, but that.
Well, that's not really thinking the problem too.
I think that's a getchka of well-adjusted.
You should also.
Yeah, exactly. Everything like I can engage with on perfect terms and like. Of course, we can like craft this like perfect human experience that doesn't fall prey.
I agree. I agree with that. That's another mishigas, right?
So this is the
that's another thing.
That's
the normal people.
No, maybe you should just throw your phone in the garbage.
You're mad at modern Orthodox people. Modern Orthodox people are. There's one, but the both sides. I'm a shiga. That's what I'm trying to get at. Modern Orthodox have a different mishigas. They just don't believe in the Yetzer Hara. They just don't believe in him. Now, Haredish people don't believe in the Yetzer Tov. But both of them, I'm a shiga. Like you go to, I just reread because of, I remember, forgot, because of this thing that I did last week. I reread some discussion that I had about with some modern Orthodox lady that wrote a whole book about like the correct sex education that we should give our kids. And she basically told him, is the boat. Like, you know, this is a really powerful destructive force also for good. But she just, no, it's like holy. And if you do it correctly, yeah, thank you very much. You just missed the problem, right? This is a thing that is really, really worth, you should respect. She just doesn't have any respect for this Yetzer Hara. No respect. Like, it's really could make a whole, it could make a marble. No, Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't be Puritan. We shouldn't teach our kids because then they're going to hate their body. So we should teach them that there's a right. I agreed with the conclusion. But there's just like a certain disconnect with reality, right? Chas V'Shalom, whatever. I'm not going to get into the details of this. Right, but you're right. That's another mishnah. No, she's right in a certain sense. These people are right. He's like, normal, very good. The other people are crazy because their solutions don't actually solve the problems. And also they're crazy because they don't believe in the Yetzer Tov. They don't believe in any kind of derech hametz and all kind of mishnahs that we said last week and so on. But the other people are also crazy. They're just living in a fantasy universe, which is like, maybe it's true in like three blocks of Teaneck for people between 30 and 40 or something. But other than that, it's not the real world, right? So what's going on? Why is everyone Meshiga? Same kasha. So you like the same thing? You meet this guy and you're like, yeah, he's the Zach. We should become his chassidim. Then you see that the guy is some other way. He's totally missed the boat.
I think this is how it started.
Not only missed the boat,
I think this is how it started because of Nachman gives us this thing against the Chacham. This Chacham is retarded. Like, why can't you just say?
It's the same thing. Teretz of the Al Zakasha says the Derech HaMitzah. It's just a formulation. The Teretz of all these Kashas is that it's true. Like, by the theory that I said today. But it's a better question than an answer. In other words, it's not a question, it's like a request, right? It's more of a request than a question. How do you say more of it? Yeah. It's more of a request than a question, meaning to say that I think that there is a way to do all of this, at least to some extent. I also do think that you have to be Meshiga. In reality, unfortunately. Why? I don't think you have to be Meshiga. I don't think we should say this drusha. Shouldn't be Meshiga. But I think that there's a reason why everyone that's normal little is Meshiga. And the reason is that in this world, it's very, very hard. At least for one person. Maybe, if I'm not taking. But for one person, it's very hard to make anything, to write anything without tipping over the boat, right? So, for example, you're fine. I could talk about like mass education as one way in which this happens. I think it also happens with people by themselves. If you have to go against the reality of society, it seems to me that it's very hard to do that without some very strong backbone, without some very strong support. And for this reason, I think that
alternative social infrastructure.
And full social infrastructure, but nobody actually has that. I mean, nobody that I know. And I think that you need like Archimedes' like pole. Like you need something to actually take you out of the default. And that thing is by definition Meshuggah. This is really what the discussion of the Rambam. This is really my response to this. The Rambam has the discussion of going in the desert and becoming a desert father or mother and leaving society. And the Rambam is very against it. He says this is not the ideal. But he also agrees that it's sometimes needed. And we have to understand that going to the desert is an avaira. It's not like the Rambam explicitly expresses it this way. Leaving society is a sin. Why is it a sin? Because the correct way of being a human being is to live within a society. And even more than that, the correct way of being a human being is to live within your society. That is the correct way, you could say healthy way, but that's the correct way. That's how God made people. That's the nature of humans. The nature of humans is not to do lech lecho. That's a very nice romantic drasha. The nature of humans is to stay where they are. The nature of humans is to live within the society you are. That's the nature of humans. Now, if you're in a bad... Now, this also means that if you're in a bad society, you're going to be bad. You are going to be bad. If anyone tells you they're going to be good in a bad society, like this is the like, main contention of modern orthodoxy, that's nonsense. You could be the good person of that society. Every society has an ideal of a good person. You could be a good person relative to that society, or not relative, like according to what that society defines as a good person. But you can't be a good person, a really good person. If you agree that whatever the definition of this society for a good person is incomplete, at least, you can't really be more than that.
Yeah.
Very good. You can't. You can't be that. Okay? In America, there's something called being a good person. By the way, that includes going to church, so you could switch synagogue for church. It doesn't make a big difference. At least it used to include. I don't know if it still does. And modern Orthodox guy or modern anything guy, it doesn't matter, is a guy that does that. No problem, you're a very good American Jew. No problem. But if you think that being a Jew, the claim of being a Jew is that the whole shtickle Torah calls the achness, being an American good guy, the best guy in America, is still not good enough. If you believe that, I don't know if you believe that. I think that as a Jew, you have to believe that. You have to, enough to nothing. But you should. Then, or especially if you believe that, like I seem to believe, based on whatever nonsense I read on the internet. But if you believe that in 2025, there is no such a thing as being a good person in America. America doesn't have an ideal of good people. And there are no good people in America. As Americans, there are good people. But then, you have to believe that you have to go out of that. And then you have to say, you have to do a very big, bad thing. Which is be against your society. It's a big, huge sin. And just doing that makes you Meshuggah. Or there's like good ways of doing that. Like saying, look, I have a Rebbe, I have a Torah. This absolute truth. What are you talking about? Since there's no such a thing. You're living in Adam Adimian. No, this is what you have to say. You have to say, look, we are the only people in history to know the truth. In Lakewood, the 30 people that live here, we are the only ones who was given to us. I don't even know how we discovered it. And just to be clear, not to the Chassidim of Bar Park, not to the guys in Five Towns, not to the guys in Freehold, we try to teach them. But it was given to us, the whole, complete, full truth. 100% mezukak. Distilled. Pure distilled. Now, that is it. Anything else is nonsense. Even the people that try to go there, they realize themselves that it's nonsense. And because we have one Michiganer that came back and said that it's nonsense and it proves to us. And this is the one that we're going to create a whole thing. We're going to teach basically only this. We're not going to teach anything else. Just be clear. We're not going to teach Torah. We're not going to teach Sire. We're not going to teach nothing. We're going to teach this. One thing. We have received for free the extreme, absolute truth, including how to tie your shoelaces. It's as true as the existence of God. Everything is the absolute truth. And this is going to be what we do. This is all we do. We spend our days and nights saying this. And then, if you do that for 70 years, no, if you do that, whatever, for as long as it takes to raise a generation, then, less than 70 years, only like 10, 15 years, then you end up with people that have a, how do we call it, like an anchor outside of America. This is what is needed. This is just the creating of the anchor. It's not the actual good thing, in my opinion. Of course, most people are messed up. It's not the actual good thing. But this is all creating like a separate pole, like the multipolar world that some people are about. Like, you have to have another pole. Otherwise, everything you do, even the Yiddishkeit that you do, is according to, if you finish the side of America. Remember, there's Shivim Surim, there's the side of America. He actually conquered like 15 Surim, and he's 15 of them. And, you know, right? You know what their names are also. Anyways, and the side of America, he's telling me, all my pshutim is from him. If you want to be a little bit outside of that, like not in Gulis, right? You want, because this Gulis means you're living within a bad society. You want to not be in Gulis. You have to have a really strong anchor. You have to have something to actually give you. You need some place to stand outside of it. How do you stand outside the world? You need a lever long enough, right, to stand outside the world. How do you do that? You have to be Meshiggah. I don't know of anyone that succeeded in that without being Meshiggah. Therefore, I had a friend that told me that he became a Biyana Chosid. A clinging man. I don't think his family is Biyan. Became a Biyana Chosid. So I asked him, Rebbe Leib, like, what's the angst? What do you see in the Holy Biyan that this is like the thing? Like, if you become a Breslev, a Chabadske, okay, I see. This guy, he was in all the places. He became a Biyana. Tzaychas Biyan. So he told me, look, I don't know if this was an excuse, but this is what he said, and it's just a good idea. He said, I looked in Biyan, he has some family, of course, like close to it socially somehow, that's why he's able to. He said, look, in Biyan, there's the least chassidus that there's, I need a chassidus. I want to be chassidus, I need a place for my children, I need a shul to daven in, a chassidus shul, and so on. I need to be chassidus. I looked around all the chassidus, where do you have to do the least? In Biyan, you have to come every Tomi. Every day, you have to come to Rishlam to the Rebbe, otherwise you're also the Biyan HaChosid. I don't think you have to do anything else, basically. They don't have, just, nobody will look what menhugim you do, what clothes you wear, nothing. Perfect, I'm a Biyan. It's so hard for me to travel two days a week, a year from Bnei Brak to Rishlam. I'll travel, no problem. I'm a Biyan HaChosid. I wear the Biyan Bekacha. I get into a Biyan HaChosid. What's the name, Shlom? Since we have to be Meshiga, we should do like Ramanach, we should try to find the least Meshiga thing that can take us out of reality. Right? So the trick is to find something that's less destructive, right? If you're like, I'm Meshiga, I'm gonna be in a cult, like we're gonna talk all, lead, do everything, whatever. But it's not necessary. I was reading a whole thing about the Amish yesterday. It's not actually necessary to be entirely Meshiga. You don't read, because you only need one thing outside, like you need one point, some anchoring point.
Anywhere else.
You need some anywhere else, but it has to be real and somewhere else. It can't be the American version of Judaism, because then it's not anything. You need something to say, in this we think entirely different than everyone. And everyone is just brainwashed, nebuch, there's nobody to talk to, it's totally messed up. You need one thing. You need one, for now, Avraham Avri is not the lechatchilah situation, but since we're in the world of Meshiggah, you need one thing that is really crazy. So everyone has to choose their poison, I think. I don't know if this is really a choice that you could make, because that's to be real. But my ideal would be, you have to choose it. That's why Lemushla, a lot of like these Breslava, for example, it's not such a bad poison. I mean, sometimes it is. But like, okay, I have this one thing. This is what really separates me from everyone. I think that this is Mashiach. That's it. Something with Lubavitch. The Lubavitch has too many Mashiachs, but they don't need most of them. One or two of them is enough. And this allows them to do a lot of things because they're free. Now you're free. Now, maybe I'll decide to do most of the things like everyone else. Like, but I'm free. Right? Where about what did he say?
That
he
had cops, make sure I would keep shabbos, and then everyone can think whatever they want to
think. Yeah, yeah, it's the opposite. Yeah, in a very messed up way, it's that. It's very the opposite of that. This pickle is that we have to have something that's different, something very far, and then we can hold on to that. I think that just being Jewish is more than enough. That's really what I think. But that only works for people that realize how crazy it is to be Jewish.
Right, does it work for
if you people? If you only like talk with Jews your whole life in a serious way, I'm not saying if you in Tinek you also talk with everyone talks with Goyim, but like seriously, like if you don't talk about God with Jews, then you don't realize how crazy Jews are. You got to talk about the true things with other people, if you could, and then you realize that just being a Jew, like I'm committed to Judaism. This is Meshiggah. I don't care. We are the guys that put on the tefillin twice, two tefillins, the Rantan tefillin also twice a day, or whatever, once a day. That's where we are. Why? We're the Puradima people. That's all. That's who we are. Now, everything else could make sense. That's why we have to have Puradima. Because that's like keeping your head above the water. There's still a Puradima. It's saving us. It's going to purify us from all the shtism. That's the thing.
And even Rambam says it doesn't have a
tongue. Yeah, it can't be a Litvak though, because
yeah,
he doesn't wear the
Rabbeinu tonsil. Yeah, no, Litvak never thinks that that's true.
No, no.
If
no,
you
no,
think
no,
that it's true, then
from your beginning. No, and I figured out what you.
No, mean. But he's mishaken for that. It's again too much mishaken.
You started off that you were going to go on vacation and the Masa, the Rambam, the Rambam, and
the Litvak. Yeah, yeah. The main thing is that this is what
you
I think.
You can go much further when you have.
And
that
you have to understand that it's wrong. This is all wrong. We shouldn't be mishaken. Even
like
just. Yeah, even just, exactly. By the way, it's a great thing if someone could. I've tried this thing. Like, I know people have tried this, and I've tried this myself in certain things. It's very important. Yeah, it's a chet. It's a chet. It's 100% a chet. You're not allowed to do it. If the world would be good, or to the extent that the world is good, you're not allowed to. It makes you a bad person. And at least in the sense of an unbalanced person, which is the definition of bad. It makes you a bad person. But if you are in a situation where you're trying to bring in some kind of truth, some kind of pole, like base of reality that is not in this one, you're going to have to do something to get yourself out. Just to be clear, how do you get yourself out of society? It's very hard. In America, it's extremely hard because it's such a free society. In Russia, it was easy to be a Yid. People think in America it's hard to be a Yid, in Russia it's easy. No, people think that in America it's easy to be a Yid, when Russia was hard. It's the opposite. In Russia, you just have to make a bris for your son and you're a Yid. Because this is like anti-communism, anti-whatever the communist ideal of atheism. Right? In America, no, you make a bris. So everyone has their mishigas, you have your mishigas. Then you're not a Yid. You're not called olim kelim evrechad. You're just, everyone is crazy, we're crazy in this way. You have to have some point that's outside of that. This is why liberalism is, like some people said, is the most dangerous thing for religion. Because it subsumes it. It says, look, we're all crazy. Well, let's be crazy that way. No problem. Maybe in part of Yishuv Olam. But in some sense, in your mind, there has to be something. No, not really. And this is because we need, this is the reality. I think this is an empirical explanation. This is why the only people that actually have the courage, like, for example, okay, everyone agrees. I don't know if everyone agrees. I don't agree. But most people that I spoke to agree that it doesn't make any sense to rent a hall for $30,000 and make a wedding for your son that's 17 or 18. It makes no sense. He doesn't deserve it. Didn't do nothing and didn't even meet his caller yet. Like, why would he get a $30,000 wedding? Everyone agrees.
Oh, it's only 30, but yeah.
No, just the hall. The other part.
Just the hall, yeah.
Everyone agrees that this is crazy. It's interesting that the only guy that actually just, you know, that it doesn't cost anything to not do it. Actually, you save a lot of money. Nobody's, it's crazy how little, actually, even not even social pressure. People, most social pressure is imagined. I've tried it out, I'm telling you. You could just do it. Instead of renting a hall, call everyone here and make your wedding. People doubted in COVID, remember? It was so easy.
Yeah.
It just happened.
No, because there's no social pressure.
The social pressure is overrated. You could just do it. It's your choice. You're the guy. There's two people left. That's okay. Two mechatun have to be on the same page. It's so hard to find one more. Everyone agrees that it's mashiach, right? The baba, the baba can plant. I promise you, you can do it.
Not the baba, the color.
All of these things together are not worth anything. The reason people don't do it, I'm telling you the truth. The only guy that actually does it is a mashigane that believes that worships a dead grave in Ukraine. How does it work? Why? Because he actually has something to tell them. I'm not one of these people. I'm really, really, my religion is a different religion. I know that, or whatever, Chazal doesn't say that. But like, really, really, what makes me tick is something else. Okay, now, maybe he also is moida. Sometimes he's the kala is making a problem. I'm not saying he's not going to have this problem. Everyone else, you have to understand the reason everyone else does not, because they have nothing in the name of which to really go against. Like, you have to remember that society, when people say it's society, it's not really society, it's their God. Right? If you say, how do I decide how to do anything? How does anyone, by the way, it's very hard. Most of the things you delegate to society. And you're correct for doing that. That's how the world should work. How do you know how a wedding looks? Oh, let's sit down and learn how to, let's learn lichas ishus and find out. You're crazy, you're not going to find anything out there, right?
So when you open up, you say, what's in a suin? Anything, whatever people do, because it's suin.
It sort of says that, yeah, that's long this already. You're turning me back. But like, you can do that, so what are you going to do, right? You don't really have, or you could say, I'm sitting down myself, I think it should be cheaper. By the way, I think it's wrong, I think a wedding should be expensive, I don't think it should be cheap. I'm asking with this whole shit, but that's a different thing. But now, you understand that there's a real issue because you have no other God. You have no God but what everyone else does. You could complain against your God. Everyone complains that they aren't the God. Nobody is happy with their God. That's why he's a God, so you should be able be against you, right? Otherwise, it would just be you. But that's why, if the only way that, if it's true, assuming that it's true that it's crazy, the only way to act in the name of something else is to actually have something else. And you really have to have something else. How would you act in the name of something else if you don't have something else? This is the basic empirical reason why the only God that actually does something different is the guy with a different God. Chazal Shmuel doesn't have a different God. You understand my mushal?
Different middle God, at least.
Yeah, different malach. Yeah. Different tzar. And the same for everything. The only people that could resist the internet, or could resist the could resist birth control, are the people that believe that God Himself told them to have a bunch of babies. Shaykhis. Doesn't matter. It has to be something different. God never said that, by the way. But it has to be something. Otherwise, you're not going to have what in the name of who to be misnaged. You have to have something in the name of something to work, to live. And it's a real problem. And the Yeshiyah is going to be when we make our own everything. But whatever, that's just fantasy for Mashiach. But that would be, it's true. It's important to have that ideal, to realize that it's not an ideal situation to be against society, because it's very destructive. You become Mashiach. And also you become even more Mashiach because of that, because then you lose everything and it's a problem. But
just to be clear, when the Rambam says you should go to the Midbar, you mean this mushul that you're talking about?
The Rambam means literally going to the Midbar.
No, but it doesn't mean this mushul that you're saying.
The Rambam literally means going to the Midbar.
Become this, like,
of course. No, not a weirdo. All Jews have, like the Chazon Ish famously told the Sa'ar Rebbe, he was 100% right. Jews have made this collective, not Jews, the what's called Orthodox, whatever you want to call them, Haredi Jews, have made this choice to go in the Midbar. The literal desert doesn't make a difference.
That's what I'm
asking. They actually did this, and it's a big sin that makes them crazy. They're all nuts, and they're all evil, in some sense, because of that. Because you get unbalanced, and when you're unbalanced, a lot of things, everything is open in some sense.
Right? But also within that world, you don't have a view from anywhere else, right?
Yeah, then it's the opposite, right? You need to be a little fried, not to be an element.
You're not answering the question.
No, I'm diagnosing the problem.
The answer is an empirical question.
I asked why I can't find any normal rebbe. The Teretz says that if it would be normal, it wouldn't be one. I wouldn't want to be my rebbe, because normal means evil. So therefore, you have to be evil a little bit. And my halfway joke solution for today is that you should try to find the least destructive mishigas to save you. And my proposal is that we should just be Jewish, and it's more than enough Meshiggah. We don't realize how Meshiggah it is.
Well, that was last week's thing also.
Right? It's connected to last week's thing. Right. It's more than enough Meshiggah to just not eat pork. That's Meshiggah enough, but you should realize that it's Meshiggah. It's not normal. Like, everyone has their dietary preferences, and I have the kosher preference. No, it's not a dietary preference to eat kosher, okay? It's a Meshiggah. The Chabaskas are good at saying this, right? We don't have no dietary preference. It's a Meshiggah. We believe that our God came 5,000 years ago and ever to a mountain and told us, please, my dear Jews, don't eat pork. Don't ask me why. It doesn't make any sense. I promise you it makes no sense. If anyone tells you that it makes sense, he's lying. That's what you have to believe. And that's more than enough to be Meshiggah. Now, you could be friends with a girl. You could do everything. It doesn't matter. Not going to hurt you because you're already totally out of it. Understand? Or since in reality, maybe it's not enough, so everyone should find some other thing that personally that works. But I think that this would be a proposal.
Actually, it's so crazy, it's actually hard to be friends with David. Just saying.
Well, because you're Meshiggah, you don't eat pork.
Just even somewhat honest with yourself that, well, you either could be two-faced, you pretend you don't put on fill in the morning. That's one option. Mm. You can't do it all you put on fill. Like, being the person who puts on fill in the morning, you just can't say it.
No, I think the ideal way of saying it is this, like, where everyone has their weird things, and we have this weird thing.
But it's weird, you're saying, we have two.
We have too many.
You also sit in the room and not eating them. You also go out, you don't tell them that you're going to mincha, but you're going to go and daven mincha.
Oh, that's a problem, because it's discrimination if only they eat daven mincha and they're going to go get a break.
No, you can't say, because it's so crazy. I don't even know how to begin.
What's crazy about davening mincha?
They're going to pray.
No, it's
nobody does this.
I work in an entirely, pretty much 80% secular workplace. There's nothing weirder than mincha.
Right.
That, by the way, if you want to know my, like, you see a bunch of people coming into the conference
room. Think it's weird, right?
That's weird. These people literally on their computers 10 feet away. I'm there, feet to Zaman, whispering to the wall. 10 minutes, I come out like nothing happened.
So my name, we're doing
a nothing we happened. I will less right
of an My name is less of an Aveiro. My mincha is in a firm. It's the firm. The partners are firm guys. It's much less of an aveira.
Partners also flimmy guys.
No, but there's
it's still the shit.
There's not so many guys around.
It's even worse. It's even worse.
You would say, my if they would, if they would believe that they're talking to God, there's one thing, but they're not even talking to God, they're just davening milcha.
Oh, by the way, no, see, that's the thing. If you daven yichidus, this whole thing gets lost. Yeah. It's very normal to whisper a prayer in the corner. When you go into the cartoon, man, we're not even going slow. It doesn't look like we take it seriously at all. Out loud, everybody. Oh, quiet.
Oh, but the shiur that you were saying all week, that we're already very concerned.
You're gone.
We're very concerned. Before Mincha, way before Mincha.
Yeah, but today I'm speaking about this specific kind of concerned about being outside of society, which is really the root of all evil, because you remember that Shulam, all the malice amidus, all the character virtues are really about creating a society that works. That's their end. Then that society has to do something, but that's what it's all about. And cutting yourself off society is the worst thing you could do. You deserve death for that. Like,
that's just me a Zionist. That's why
I'm saying. Zionists have this fantasy of creating society. Problem is that their society is just a link to all the messed upness that you could find in Russia and in America and in England and everywhere.
Right. The
problem with the Haredish guy that
all your headaches, you bring
the problem with the guy
that comes in is he doesn't feel
Aliyah.
The
fourth Aliyah this time.
He doesn't. It's like what you're saying. He doesn't feel the weirdness. The 2-3 guys that are really hardcore that come in that don't care, right at all, right? They don't feel the eyes looking at them and they're doing it anyway. Right? These guys have nothing to gain from it. They come in
if you think that it's normal.
And he doesn't understand. He looks like a freak. Me, I go every day. I know. I've been a freak. Yeah, too bad. I'm here. I'm whispering to the wall. You don't like it. I don't know. I'm out of my mind. Yeah, it works.
They made Sarmic Society, and then once they're somewhat successful, then all the leeches come and start selling soda cans in Tel Aviv. Like, there was 1 billion soda cans selling in Tel Aviv. Hacking, whatever, like, so all the racist things come aside is because, like, no, we're trying to make a good society. No,
I agree. In other words, but the reality is, firstly, just to be a Zionist is crazy. I don't know if you know that. It still is, I think. Maybe people were reminded that it's a bit of Meshega. Why it's Meshega, I don't know, because the Goyim are anti-Semites. I don't care why. It's Meshega. No, ask it.
I think it's hypocritical to live in America be a Zionist. I think that.
No, it's Meshega. I'm not saying it. It's outside.
Why is Meshuggah if you live there?
Because there was all this work went in. Okay, I don't know. I'm not talking about Zionism. There was all the, you know, whatever. It was all this work that went in to try to make it like a normal idea, but it never really managed to become a normal idea. Like, every nation has its place. Yeah, and you have to go to some Palestinians. Like, hello. This is weird. Nobody ever did this.
It's normal when it's.
I mean, it's
is.
Only not Meshuggah like the Free African State. Like, it's not really normal.
Right?
What happened in 1776?
No, there's actually no successful people that actually just picked themselves up from one place and went to the other place and claiming that it's their homeland and made a homeland there. Nobody ever did that besides for the Jews. I'm not saying they're wrong for it, doing it. I'm just saying they're the only people that ever did that.
It's normal when it just is that way, but it's not normal to make it be that way. That's
No, very good. As part of the project, that's why there's a Yid, I have to stop my video, but there's a Yid that claims that the fact that people are not Zionists in Israel is the biggest success of Zionism. Because we're just here. What do you mean? Why are we here? I don't know. My father was here. My grandfather was here. My great-grandfather? I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't remember anymore. But that's it. Zeh Mayesh. And he feels just like the Palestinians, their great-grandfather, they don't know where they're from. Right? So, like, and he says that he met the young people. They feel like that. Many of them just like, and they said, oh, we finally became natives. Like, ah. Mazel tov. But whatever. That's a different tradition. But yeah, if you want to become, shine. But it's true. But that's, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that. I mean, like this ideal of making your full society and taking responsibility for anything, for everything, also seems a little mishaken to me. I don't think that's the correct ideal either. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you can't be autarky. You can't have moral autarky. It's not going to work either. Very good. So we're back to this picking our poison of how where we want to be mishaken. Make sense? I was reading this thing yesterday that the Amish, there's like seven different levels of Amish, and the more frum ones are actually more frei. It's very interesting, because it's dafka the modern ones that have more chimris about driving certain things, not driving cars, certain things.
So how and
because Amul Gitzat and Inzer Zaydis playing Zanshkutzim. Then a bunch of modern people came and they said, look, we can't do this, this is crazy, everyone has to believe in God, or whatever. And therefore they asked it a bunch of things. And now they're struggling more.
Like in our society.
In some sense, yeah. There's a lot of killers from being a chassid also. It's not only chemeris. People don't realize that. The matter of fact, people think that being Larak Kat is being Machmer. It's not really. Right?
It lets you do more things underneath it.
It lets you... You gotta pay a certain thing, and but that's enough. You have to. By the way, it's also too much. Like a yarmulke is more than enough. Crazy. You have to wear yarmulke and tzitzis and a hat and everything. Like this is just overdone. But you do have to. There's you understand what I'm saying, because as long as there's something strong enough, we're the people that don't wear tchayles. It's not a good example. The Jewish context. We're the people that do, you know who are the fremest people in Yiddishkeit? They do a chusmo. They don't do it correctly anyways.
Well, they don't know
who
you're talking
about. Sorry, you understand the difference than a kid, right? They do okay? Everyone knows what that is. They do upsashtikl pritzes because their altazaitis did it and they don't know maases. Oh, it doesn't make sense. I don't know. My Baba did that. I'm going to do it too. And there's people, right, because they wear the same socks as their Baba, they're also allowed to do the same avaris as their Baba. If you're Oy B'chochem and you wear different sacks, then okay, then you have to do the mitzvahs. You understand? So there's, my point is just that it's not correct that the more things you add, the more separated you become from society. It's not actually true. And in certain ways, by the way, I've noticed there's another drusha, but many of the, I'm making choizik of Orthodox people, but in certain ways, Satmar people are the most Americanized people there are around. And non-Orthodox people are the most Yiddish people there are around. Because Marnothak Shul, in some sense, is just the Hemshech of the Shul in Europe from 10,000 years ago, whatever, however many years ago. And the Chassidish Shul is totally American Shul. Satmar is probably like the first ones to create actual McMarron style American Shuls in Lakewood. Okay, go to Satmar Shul, not in the new one. You'll see that they basically bought modern fixtures like this one for their Shul. What's going on with you? No Marnothak Shul would do that. If they would do that, it would be in like a messed up in a different way. Not in the same way, not with such courage, not like with such familiarity. It's reality. And that is because there's not anything else, because there's other things making them meshige. So everyone chooses where to be meshige. It's not entirely true that the more frema are less assimilated.
My favorite place
it's just everyone choosing where to be and not assimilated.
This dichotomy used to
live. What I'm saying?
Yeah, this dichotomy used to live in, what's that shul by that weird massive intersection that's has 100 streets coming into it. The old shul in Lakewood, the old one. That you see it on full display.
Exactly. Yeah, like the fixture. Now there's nobody there anymore.
They modernized like one fixture, and you can feel the dissonance for miles.
Yeah, you could see, right? There's no shul in Lakewood that has like the panels on the wall still from how they used to make shuls in the olden times. Everyone is modern. We have chairs and tables that look like this. So that's the nekida. But kitzer, now your tzlim is that everyone should try to be meshige, but not too meshige. Sorry.